Welcome back, everyone. Today we're taking a deep dive into the world of the minor mode. We're going to be digging into excerpts from composing music, from theory to practice. And, well, let's be honest, we're here to find out why the minor mode is music's superpower for evoking, you know, those feelings of longing, mystery, even a touch of drama, the kind of music that really stays with you long after the last note fades away. We're going to break down how it works, how composers weave that magic.
It really is remarkable how much emotion composers can pack into the minor mode, isn't it?
Hmm.
And one of the keys to understanding this is, you know, realizing that it's not just a single scale. It's more like a family of scales. Each one has, well, you could say a unique flavor.
Okay, like where this is going. Flavors of scales. Our source material dives into three main ones: natural minor, harmonic minor, and melodic minor. So help me wrap my head around this. How do these different flavors actually work?
You know, if you think back to those ancient Greek modes, the Dorian, Phrygian, and all those, you know, well, the minor mode we use today actually evolved over time. It took elements from those older modes, and, well, it became something new, something much more expressive, really.
So it's like musical fusion, taking the best of the old and creating something new and exciting. I'm intrigued. Tell me more about how these specific flavors, natural, harmonic, and melodic, came to be.
Right. So we start with the natural minor, which is basically our Aeolian mode.
Yeah.
It follows a very specific pattern of whole and half steps, and that gives us that classic, that, you know, minor sound.
The OG minor, the foundation. Got it. But then what happens when we, say, add a little spice to the mix? How do we get those other flavors, the harmonic and melodic minors?
Well, that's where things get really interesting. The harmonic minor, see, it takes that natural minor scale and raises the seventh degree, just a half step, mind you. But that little change creates what we call a leading tone. And this leading tone, it has this, you know, this strong pull back towards the tonic, the root note of the scale. And that, my friend, that pull, that's what gives us that extra drama, that yearning that's so characteristic of the minor mode.
I can practically hear it in my head. So it's like that raised seventh degree adds a little, what, little edge, a tension that wants to be resolved.
Exactly. Now, with the melodic minor, well, it also uses that raised seventh, but it takes it a step further, you see. It raises the sixth degree as well. And what that does is it smooths out the jump between the sixth and seventh degrees, makes the melody flow more naturally, especially when it's ascending.
Okay, so essentially, composers have these three different flavors to play with: natural, harmonic, melodic. It's like, I don't know, it's like they're choosing different colors to paint a particular feeling or mood, right?
That's a great way to put it. Each flavor really does have its own distinct character, its own emotional weight.
So we've got these three distinct flavors of the minor scale, natural, harmonic, melodic, each with its own personality. But, you know, I was looking back at what we're diving into here, and it mentioned something about ascending and descending forms of the minor mode. Does that, like, come into play here, too?
Oh, absolutely. It's a huge part of it. It all comes down to how composers use these flavors in motion. Now, think of it this way. When a melody is going up, you know, climbing upwards, they might choose to go with the harmonic minor, with that leading tone, to really create that sense of yearning. But then when the melody starts going down, they might switch back to that natural minor, you know, to give it a more grounded feel.
Oh, wow. So the direction of the melody, that can actually change the emotional flavor, even if you're basically in the same key.
That's amazing. I love that our source material actually calls this the secret musical staircase.
It's such a good analogy, right?
Because it really is like that. And the composer, they get to decide which steps they want to emphasize. You know, it all depends on the emotional journey they want to create within the music.
This is where things get really, really interesting for me. Okay, so we talked about, you know, the scales themselves, but how do these minor mode flavors actually become like chords and progressions? Because, you know, at the end of the day, that's where the real, like, substance of a piece lies, right?
You're totally right. It's like we build houses with bricks, right? Mm-hmm. Composers use chords that are built from these minor scales to create those landscapes of emotion in music.
Okay, okay. I'm ready to get into the nitty-gritty of these chords. So give me the breakdown. How do these flavors come to life harmonically?
Well, each flavor of the minor scale gives us a unique set of triads and seventh chords. It's those chords and their inversions that really form the building blocks of minor mode harmony.
Okay, wait. Inversions? You can't just drop that on me and not explain.
Right, of course.
Yeah.
So imagine you're playing a C major chord on the piano, right? C, E, G. An inversion basically just rearranges those notes. So instead of starting on C, you might start with E, G, C or G, C, E. It's the same notes, but you're just playing them in a different order. And you'd be surprised by what difference that makes. It changes how the chord sounds and how it feels.
It really is amazing how such a small change can have such a big impact. So tell me more about these minor mode chords. Are there any chords that are like unique to the minor mode ones you wouldn't find anywhere else?
There are. I mean, we've got our standard minor triads, of course, but the ones that really steal the show are the augmented major seventh chord and the diminished seventh chord. You won't find these in any major keys. They add a whole other layer of drama and color to the minor mode.
Now we're talking. This is what I'm here for. These chords sound like they can really change the whole game.
Oh, they absolutely can.
Let's start with the augmented major seventh. What's the deal with this chord?
Right, so the augmented major seventh chord usually shows up on the third degree of the harmonic minor scale. And it's got this really intriguing sound. It's kind of dissonant in a way, almost like a splash of bright color against something more muted. Composers use this chord really strategically, like it's their secret weapon, you know, to create moments of heightened tension or a real sense of yearning.
Okay, I'm already getting chills just thinking about it. It's like that moment in the music where you just know something big is about to happen. Okay, what about the diminished seventh? How does that one work? It's magic.
Ah, the diminished seventh. This one's all about ambiguity and resolution. It's built on the seventh degree of the harmonic minor scale. And it's got this unresolved quality to it that makes you crave a resolution to a more stable chord. It's that feeling you get when you're watching a movie and you're on the edge of your seat. You have no idea which way it's going to go.
So it's like the musical version of suspense.
Yeah.
I love it. Composers must have so much fun playing with these unique chords. It's like they're painting emotions with sound, but using them, oh, it can't be easy, right? Our source material mentions something called voice leading.
You're absolutely right. Understanding how to use these chords effectively is where voice leading comes in. Think of it like having all these amazing colors on your palette. You need to know how to blend them properly to make sure the final result is harmonious and emotionally impactful.
That makes perfect sense. So basically, you can't just throw these chords in randomly. You have to set them up in a way that makes sense and then let them resolve in a way that feels satisfying.
Exactly.
All right, so voice leading. It's like the secret sauce that makes these chords work, right?
It really is.
Okay, walk me through it. What do I need to know?
So think of it like this. Each of these chords, right, they're made up of individual notes.
Yeah.
Voice leading is all about how those notes move, how they transition from one chord to the next. It's about creating a smooth flow and, you know, avoiding any jarring leaps or clashes between those notes that might disrupt the music.
So it's like a musical puzzle, finding the most elegant way to connect those chords.
Exactly.
I love it.
And, you know, just like a puzzle, there's some guidelines that can help you put it all together. One of the big ones is understanding dissonance.
Okay, yeah.
You know, those kind of spicy, tense chords, like that augmented major seventh or the diminished seventh.
Yeah, those are the ones that really grab your attention.
Exactly. They grab your attention. Yeah. But those dissonant chords, they need to be handled carefully. They need to be prepared. And what I mean by that is they need to flow naturally from whatever chord came before.
Okay.
And then they need to resolve smoothly to the chord that comes after. So it's all about creating this sense of expectation and release.
That makes sense. So you can't just like throw those chords in randomly. You have to like set them up and then let them resolve in a way that's satisfying.
Yes, exactly. And you know what? It's not just about the dissonant chords either. Remember those pivot tones we talked about? Those raised sixth and seventh degrees? They give the minor mode its unique flavor.
Yeah, they're key.
Well, when you're moving between chords, especially when you're switching between the ascending and descending forms of the minor mode, those pivot tones, they can be a little tricky. You have to make sure they move in a way that, well, in a way that just makes sense musically.
So it's like navigating a maze, making sure you take the right path so you don't hit any dead ends.
Yes, that's a great way to put it. It's like learning a new language, really. There are rules and conventions, but once you understand them, you can start to express yourself with so much more nuance and sophistication.
Wow, this has been amazing. I feel like we've just scratched the surface of the minor mode.
We have. But, you know, that's the beauty of it. The more you explore the minor mode with its scales and chords and voice leading techniques, the more you start to really appreciate how incredibly deep and complex it is. It's like a lifetime of musical discovery, really.
I love that. So as we wrap up our deep dive today, what's the biggest takeaway you want our listeners to leave with?
I think the most important thing to remember is that the minor mode is so much more than just a theoretical concept.
It's a way for composers to express a whole range of emotions, feelings of longing, sorrow, joy, everything in between.
That is beautiful. And I think that's a great place to leave it. So next time you're listening to your favorite music and you feel that chill down your spine, or maybe you feel a little lump in your throat, pay attention to the chords, the way those melodies are moving. You might just unlock an even deeper understanding of the power of the minor mode.
Absolutely. I totally agree.
Well, thank you so much for taking this deep dive with us. Until next time, happy listening, everyone.